Praise God. Amen. Is that your testimony? Saved, filled with the Spirit, redeemed. Glory to God. Amen. Back in 2002, Dr. Dufresne came here to Spirit of Faith Family Church for the very first time. He came alone. And it was a divine connection. I could tell you the story. It's too long for now. But he finished the meeting, and I said, "Doctor, we would love to have you come back." And he said, "I would love to, and you would love my wife." he loved you, Pastor, and believed big in your ministry. And I said, "Well, I wanted to say I didn't know you were married, you know, God, because I didn't know him that well." But anyway, I said, "Well, great, you know, I trust you, so let's do both the next time. Both of you come next time." And Dr. Dufresne became a spiritual father to us. Dad Hagen, I didn't know at the time whenever we met Dr. Dufresne, Dad Hagen was within a month, I believe, or something like that, getting ready to go to heaven. And God made a divine connection with a spiritual father, not to take the place of Brother Hagen. No one can take that place, but to step in and to play that role in Pastor Debbie and I's life. And it was divine. It was almost instant if I told you the story how it happened, it's amazing. But when Pastor Nancy came, we sat there in awe, and the Spirit of God said, "That's your pastor." Hallelujah. How many of you know it's good to know who your pastor is? Because a pastor is a supply into your life that no one else has. We thank God for every minister that has a supply, but there's something about a divine connection with a pastor that brings supply into your life like no one else can. She feeds us. We listen to her when you know we're at home and so forth, and we're just grateful for the divine connection God has given us. And I think many of us could say the same thing, the supply she has into our lives. So we're always honored when she comes for camp meeting for the week. Thank you for coming again, Pastor Nancy. We look forward to everything God has through her. And may the highest flow function, the highest of her office function in every service. And how many of you know she's a gift from God to the body of Christ? And we receive a gift, and it's an honor for us to have her tonight. Pastor, come and obey God. And let's just raise our hands and thank God for her gifting tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we're so grateful for the company of faith. We're so grateful for the spirit of faith.
Thank you, Father.
And grateful to have faith fellowship.
Yes.
Because in our coming together, we all go further.
Yes, Father.
And we're so, so grateful for the precious supply that this pastor is to us, this congregation, and all those that are present in this place. We're hungry together.
Yes.
And we're moving together, and we receive together.
Yes.
And we thank you tonight for words that bring heaven to earth.
Yes.
Answers that are authored in our hearts.
Yes.
Clarity that stands up on the inside of us to point us the right way. And we thank you, Father, that for the change that you offer us tonight. We take it. We come up. We come up in our thinking. We come up in our believing. We come up in our speaking. We come up in our doing. We take the change so that greater glory can be moved into. And we're thanking you for it. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Turn around to three or four people. Give them a great big God bless you tonight. Then you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
We are so thrilled to be here for camp meeting.
Yes.
Yes. And glad you're here with us, and God has so much for us in His plan for these services.
Amen.
Amen. And we're here for that plan, His plan. amen for these services. Pastors, thank you for having us. It feels like home. It just be like home. And thank you to the congregation here. You've done a lot to prepare for this week, and we so value and appreciate what you've done. Thank you so, so much. And then for other congregation members who traveled from other locations to be here, thank you. And for pastors, thank you for coming, because it always adds so much to the services and elevates the flow that we get into. So thank you for your supply. And thank you for bringing your faith this week.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Did you come expecting to receive something? Yeah. We have some items at the book table, but you heard we've been coming since, what, 2002, 2003? So I don't know that there's anything back there that... But just for those who haven't been around that long, we offer it tonight and answer it. If you'll get hold of the truth in this, I tell you what, life will become sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. I was preaching some of the things in this book one time, and a certain person, I mean, precious, precious faith person, they said, Pastor Nancy, they said, I was going through a particular test, and for 4 months, they said, my mind was bombarded by some things, and they said, I stood my ground, but they said, if I would have heard what you were teaching on, it wouldn't have taken 4 months. I said, no, brother. If I'd have learned what I'm teaching on years ago, it wouldn't have taken near as long. We were talking about it. A pastor was driving us down. We came from two other previous churches before we came here, and one of the pastors drove us down. And I said, there was, when I was 18, when I was 28, when I was 38, when I was 48, I entered. There was tests that came during those seasons of my life. And for the first 3 months, it was very, very difficult. Of each of those seasons. And for the first year and a half of that, it was there. And it was 3 years before the trace of every bit of that was gone. That happened 4 times. And I said, God, I'm getting through it, but not skillfully. Because if I were skillful in it, it wouldn't keep taking the same amount of time every time. Right. You know, as a runner gains in skill, his running time is shortened.
Yeah, that's right.
And if his running time isn't shortening, he's not gaining something.
That's right.
He's just running the way he's always run.
That's right. Amen.
And I said, but I began, I talked to God and just went in, if I could say this, a spiritual laboratory of God's word and his spirit. And laid down the actual steps, because I knew how I knew I was getting through it. I just didn't know how I was getting through it. I was throwing everything at it, you see. And when you throw everything at it, you don't know which one pulled the lever. So you know what I mean by that? Which one brought the results? And so after a time, God began to make it clearer and clearer. And I was telling them yesterday in the drive down, I said, that same test came back just a couple years ago. And I said, and it took me 30 seconds to get past it. 30 seconds. What took 3 years before? 30 seconds. Why? That's what skill. That's what the knowledge of the word and putting that in place will do for you. And one of the things I would always say in times of seasons that I would go through like that, I would say, God, I said, I'm doing it wrong. There is no reason that I should have a day of mental harassment. There's no reason. And see, people just think that's part of life, not of the believer, not of the believer. But yet we still have to gain skills so that we live the transformed life and not the life that everyone else is living. And it takes revelation. And you don't walk into revelation till you face opposition. You can't just download revelation verbally. My revelation will never work for you till it's your revelation, and it only becomes revelation through the living of it, not through the hearing of it. And anyway, you get hold of this book, and it will direct you on what to do when you're faced. And if you'll do If you'll do it, I guarantee you life will be sweet. Amen. Life will be sweet. I've decided nothing else but days of heaven on earth. Amen. Nothing else but days of heaven. Don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean opposition won't show up. Amen. It doesn't mean tests won't come. It means that I determine the outcome. Amen. And when you know how to answer it, you know the testimony of how God sent Dr. Summerall to the Philippines and said, he said to him, I will do more for you there than I've ever done for you anywhere else. He got there, he was there maybe 6 months, and he heard the report over the radio of a little gal who was being tormented in prison by an evil spirit, and they called for help. They said, if anyone can help us, come to the mayor's office, basically, and get permission to go in and deal with this situation. And when Dr. Summerall heard that, God spoke to him, said, I want you to go set that girl free. And he said to God, he said, send somebody else. And the reason he did that is not because he didn't want to go, but he was a new arrival. Right. There had been established ministries and churches, right. Christian churches, that had been there for decades and decades. And he was new to that region. And he thought it appropriate, let someone who's acquainted with this island and with the people go minister. And so he said, send somebody else. And God, listen to what God said. He said, I don't have anyone else. Now, listen, there were pastors, Christian pastors, born-again pastors. So what did God mean when he said, I don't have anyone else? He meant, I don't have anyone else that knows how to talk to that devil. I don't know, have anyone else who knows how to answer that demon. Now, think about it. When we know how to answer opposition in our life, God can use us in ways he can't use other people. It increases our usefulness to God. Amen. And because one, and out of that, the mayor was so grateful that that girl was set free. And I won't go into all the details of surrounding that testimony, but he was so grateful. He said to Dr. Summerall, what can I do for you? And Dr. Summerall said, I want the city square. There's a park there. I want that for 6 weeks to hold a revival. And there were over 100,000 people born again in 6 week period. Let me tell you why that revival came, because one man knew how to answer. Think what will change in our lives when we know how to answer, and what we can do, what help we can bring to others when we know how to answer things. Huge, it's a huge part of the Christian life is answering. Then, of course, we have this book on worship and then following the Holy Spirit. My, get hold of this. If you don't have this one, you need this, because the truths of that word, you're going to have to live with every day. Amen. If you want to live in the best of what God has for you. You believe with me tonight, because I've got so many things going around in here. I've got to get them out in order. So I don't just crisscross and jump over the freeway and just keep doing this and stuff, you know, jumping around and stuff. So let's believe for divine order, right, of how this comes out. And I'm going to remind myself I've got more than one service to bring out that order, so that you don't feel like you've got to jump around to get it all out, right? Let's start in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. This chapter is you getting to hear Jesus talk to his Father. Amen. His prayer life is represented in this chapter, because it's a prayer. The whole chapter is him talking to the Father before his exit from the earth. And we got to listen in on this prayer. And my goodness, there's so much of it we'd like to dive into, but I'm going to restrain myself. And I'm getting to one verse, but I want to read the previous verses to get there. So we'll start in verse 1. John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. So now we know it's a prayer. He said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and that they might know Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I like this next phrase. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Every one of us, we don't leave till we say that.
Yeah. Amen.
We don't leave till we can say that.
Amen.
I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Wow. He's going back to something.
Yeah. Right.
What was it? What he laid down to come here.
That's right.
Verse 6, I have manifested thy name. God's name became visible.
Yes. Yeah.
Through what Jesus did in the earth. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they are, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. They have kept thy word. Verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. I want us to look at that 8th verse. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. This is just the starting point of where I want to go tonight. Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say.
Yeah.
Right? So he did not, that doesn't mean that sitting around a dinner table and in fellowship with people, he could only say what heaven said. It means when he was representing God, he was not representing himself and his own opinion. When he was ministering to the people, when he was imparting and demonstrating and moving and working, it was not himself he was making known. And his opinions and his preferences and getting his way, he was there to carry out the Father's will.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So he only did what he saw his Father do, and he only said what he heard his Father say. Now notice here he says, for I have given unto them the words. Jesus is getting ready to leave the earth.
Yeah.
Notice what he didn't say. I have given unto them the anointing. I have given unto... Now that's going to come. But upon his exit, he's got something for them. And what he says that he had for them, and it wasn't just that day he gave it, but all along he was giving it. I have given them your words. Why? Because if they will receive these words... Nothing is off limits. The anointing will meet it. Miracles will meet those words. Healings will meet those words. Provision will meet those words. Wisdom from God. Direction from God. Victory. Everything they need in life will come out of the words. It'll come out of the words. So verse 8, for I have given them the words. And look at this. The words which thou gavest me. He didn't just give us his own intellect. He gave us the words that God gave him, and those words produced through Jesus. They produced lame walking, dead raised, lepers cleansed, demons cast out. Those words acted, believed, and acted on, produced. So Jesus said, now I'm leaving, but I'm giving them what I worked with to get the results I got. It was words. Words. He said, I have given them the words which thou gavest me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So we know what's most precious to him because he's at his departure here.
Yes.
He's letting them know.
Yes.
For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. That was most precious to him. What his father said.
Yes, yes, yes.
Directed his entire existence here.
Hallelujah.
It governed him. It's what directed his thought life.
Yes.
It's what grabbed his attention.
Yes.
It's what directed his actions. Words.
Yes.
Not emotions.
Amen.
Not feelings.
Yes.
Words.
Words.
Words work apart from how you feel about them.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Doesn't matter whether you feel like they carry something with them or not.
Right.
The words, they contain something.
Yes.
Words are containers.
That's right.
Yes.
They hold something.
Right.
What do they hold? They hold what they say.
Amen.
They contain the power to perform what they say.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that's right.
And so when you say those words, then they are able to perform what those words say.
That's right. Amen.
For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Look at this last phrase. And they received them.
Hallelujah.
So he gave us words, but we have a responsibility toward those words.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And that is to receive them.
Yes.
How do we know if we received them? If we're doers of them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Not if we've memorized them.
Amen.
Not if we have an affection toward them.
Yes.
Not if we're able to repeat them and confess them.
Yes.
But are we doing them?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The receiving is only seen in the doing.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The words that Jesus gave us that were from his Father will produce through us what they produce through him.
Yes,
amen.
They'll produce the exact same thing because they're the exact same words that contain the power to perform what they say.
Amen.
So how do we know if we received them? Are we showing the fruit of it?
Right.
Okay, so that's not the direction I want to go tonight. Yeah, but that was so good, it's got to be said.
Yes.
Not because I said it, that's what Jesus said, the words. The words are what produced, bore much fruit that glorified his Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Words that were given, the whole word of God has been given to us.
That's right.
It's not just to produce something through us, but it's to produce a transformed life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That our lives are transformed by words.
Yes.
Our marriages transformed by words. Our minds transformed by words. Words. Amen.
Amen.
Words help us. These words from God help us to see ourselves as God has made us.
Yes.
Without these words, we can't see ourselves. These words, this word is a mirror to us. In the word, we see us. And if we're not careful, the enemy is listened to. Unknowingly, so that he just keeps showing us our flesh instead of us seeing in him, the mirror of who we are in him.
Yeah.
That only comes through words, not through feelings, not through emotions.
Right.
It comes through receiving words. Just like miracles and healings came through words that Jesus received from his Father, and then those words produced when they were acted upon in faith.
Right.
There are things that God has said to us about us that should define us. And it's only in his words that define the true picture of us. And The enemy does not want us skillful with that view of us as the words show us. He wants us looking at this, looking at the past, looking at the natural, looking at what we could have produced but didn't produce, what we should have produced and failed to produce, what we did but did it wrong. He's always wanting us to look at these things to try to get us to see us. But us is not the natural. Us is in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. And we have to so establish in us, in our spirit man, who we are in Christ. Because if we don't, everything is a struggle because we're trying to do things from out here and make it better instead of what is already successful in us. The life in us, the divine ability in us, the genius in us, the Holy Ghost in us. And we draw everything from that place and direct it out here. And it starts affecting everything out here. You've heard it said, your pastor has no doubt quoted it. I've quoted it many times of what my husband said by the Spirit in this last day revival. First of all, he said all previous revivals wrapped up into one. Then he said all fivefold gift ministries operating at full potential power. Then he said all nine gifts or manifestations of the Spirit operating at full potential power. That's not going to happen because it's planned. That's going to happen because we took words and received them on every front of our life. Because words have to be received regarding every arena. Every arena. Every arena. Because the arena that we don't become skillful with receiving His words in is the arena that the enemy will constantly poke on and hinder and hold back. Because whether you know it or not, demons are warring against the plan of God for your life. They constantly war. They're looking for a place of entrance. But they warred against Jesus every day of His earthly ministry, but they just couldn't get an inroad. They could not gain access. Why? Because they couldn't get anything planted in Him. Therefore, they couldn't get a harvest out of Him.
That's it. Amen. Amen.
Satan would plant a thought, or suggest a thought rather, but Jesus wouldn't let it get planted. And so when Satan would come back, there was no harvest there. Why? Because Jesus had already planted other words. Words from His Father. And Jesus gave us those same words so that the wrong words we don't receive. Because we've already planted words that came from heaven. By His stripes I am healed. Words from heaven. My God shall supply all my words from heaven. Therefore, we're not sitting around the dinner table talking about we're behind again. No, we don't plant those words because we received words. It's not enough that He gave them. They only work where they're received. So much of the time we're working to get results out here. In our business, in our marriage, in our ministries,
come on.
In our family, we're trying to get results out here. But results come and flow easily without struggle when the inside isn't struggling.
That's right. Yes. 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 That's right, Pastor.
I'm learning this more and more financially. You know, every FOF church I've talked to during the COVID, they flourished financially.
Yeah.
I mean, partway through the year when we compared it to the previous year before COVID, $200,000 more had come in at that point a year later. And we weren't even to the end of the year yet. We don't know where it came from. It just came, and every pastor that we've talked to in the FOF fellowship had the same report.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
And somebody was asking me, because things are just on the increase, and they said they asked me a question about financially, and I said, I've just noticed this. The less I think about money, the more comes. That's all I noticed. And somebody asked me recently about somebody everyone in here would know well. They're a general in the body of Christ, but financially they just flourish. And they asked me, how do you think that person flourishes so much? I said, because they don't think about finances. Yeah. That has nothing, it
Amen.
Doesn't govern them.
Amen. Amen, Pastor.
What you're thinking about are the words you're accepting.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Those are the words you're receiving. What you're thinking about are the words that you're receiving. If they're worried words, if they're I don't have enough words, that's what you're receiving. And so because we've already planting God's words, then we don't need to hear different words. We don't need, different words will come, but we don't need to entertain anything differently because God already told us what to think.
Yes.
But this is this last day revival that holds full potential is going to come because inside has stopped struggling. We're not struggling with us. We received who we are in Christ. We received those words. We received that we are the righteousness of God. We have received that we have the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord. The words that have been given us by Jesus and through the Word of God. Romans 12, verse 2. You know this. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you become conformed to the world? By what do you allow in your mind?
That's right.
How do you become transformed by what you allow in your mind?
Yeah, that's right.
Getting in a ministry line, and I believe in ministering to people, laying on of hands. Thank God for that flow. That will bless you. It'll bless your life, but it'll never transform you.
That's right.
Never. Only words transform.
Amen.
Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, receiving words and saying, those are mine. Those govern me.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen.
They direct me.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Look at this in Romans 12, verse 2 again. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Look at this, by the renewing of the mind. He didn't say by a new mind. He said renewing. Meaning there must have been in place a right mind. And God is saying that right mind worked in you. When Adam was put in the earth, he had a right mind. But he received wrong words. And he lost his right mind. Not everyone who's lost their mind is in a padded cell. Worry is you losing. Fear is you losing.
That's it. Amen.
Yeah. Right?
Amen.
When I look at this word renew, the definition just in the dictionary means to take up again. Take it up again. It means to recover, and it means to be restored to a former state. So he said, by the renewing of your mind, be restored to the former state that Adam had before he fell. Be restored to that. In Adam's right mind, thousands of species of animals walked before him, and he said, this name, the genius of God was flowing through him without labor, without weariness, without tiredness, because his mind was as God, as conducting the thoughts of God. He was a spirit being, and that was flowing out. Yeah. And through.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's right. Amen. That's right.
No struggle.
No struggle.
There was no struggle.
No struggle.
There was no struggle. God said something to me, and I won't tell you the whole thing that surrounded when God said this to me, but he said, the troubling of the mind, when someone's troubled in their mind, or they draw back from God, or they aren't bold with their faith, it's the same thing as Adam and Eve when they sinned and went and hid. Now, after they had been with the serpent, talking to that serpent, he gave them words they had never heard before.
Right.
And they received them.
Yep.
They acted on them.
Yep.
And when they came away from the serpent, they behaved as they had never behaved before.
Right. Amen.
It wasn't trying to fix the behavior. You got to fix the words they received.
Yep. Yep.
Because the words they received directed how they behaved. And too many times we're trying to fix out here without fixing. What words are we receiving?
That's so good. Wow.
So God said to me, he said, when they came away from the serpent and they realized they were no longer clothed with the glory of God, so they tried to clothe themselves. And then when they heard God, because he would come in the cool of the day and fellowship with them, they again heard him. Notice God didn't withdraw his words. And they went and hid when they heard him. And God said to me, when had I ever treated them in such a way that they felt like they should hide from me? What did I ever do to them that said hide? Nothing. He said they didn't hide because they heard me. Because I had never been anything but good to them. He said they hid because of who they'd been listening to. And he said to me, when you draw back, even in faith, in prayer, in fellowship with God, draw back in any way, he said, it's not because I'm going to do something to you. It's because of who you've been listening to. And he said, because they had been fellowshipping with wrong words. They started thinking wrong about God and accused him of worth being, of needing to be hid from. And he said, I had never done anything that would warrant them hiding from me.
That's right. Amen.
But because of who they had been listening to and words twisted.
Yes. Come on.
And started accusing God as someone to hide from when they never hid from the serpent.
Yeah. 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 Wow. Amen.
If we're not careful, wrong words can twist the way we see ourselves.
Wow.
Why do you think Satan comes as the accuser of the brethren with condemnation, words of guilt, words of shame? Why? So you will draw back from God. And that's really what condemnation.
Yep.
Condemnation has never caused us to draw back from the devil.
No.
It causes us to draw back from being bold in faith.
Come on.
Amen. It causes us to draw back from the one who's only ever done something good for to us, through us, and for us. It distorts. When we don't have it established in our spirits that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, words of condemnation, words of sin consciousness, pointing us back to where we missed it, where we should have done better, where we could have done better, how we didn't do better, all of that serves to get our faith crippled to where we draw back. And this is what I'm saying, for us to move into the full measure of what God has planned for this last day era, there has to be nothing inside tripping up over who we are. We have to be established in righteousness. We are made righteous, but we have to establish in us this righteousness. And any time thoughts trouble us, it's because we lack renewed minds. We need to evaluate the words we're receiving.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. The Amplified Classic Translation says, for if because of one man's trespass, who is that? Adam. Because of his trespass, his lapse, his offense, death reigned through that one. What's that mean? Death was in dominion. Death was lording it over humanity. Death reigned through that one. Much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, listen to this, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself. How much more this free gift of righteousness, they shall reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through the gift of righteousness, through grace and the gift of righteousness, we reign. We reign in king as kings in life. Over circumstances, over anything that comes, over tests and trials, we reign. We reign. We can't keep those from coming, but when they come, they need to know who's in charge. We're reigning.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When we went to, years ago, my husband and I went to Zambia, and they took us on a safari. They took Stephen and Ed on a hunt. I didn't care to go on the hunt. There's a fun story with that. Maybe we'll tell you one day of Ed's great frustration. And then one day they just took us out just to look at all the wild critters. We saw all kinds of things, it was a wonderful trip. And they took us by the hyenas and the elephants and the giraffe and all the different antelope and all the different kind of things. And they took us by the lions. The hyenas were up. They were crazy. They were crazy. No renewed minds. They were crazy. They were just, you could just tell by their movements. Cray, 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 cray. Crazy number one, crazy number two, and they all living together, becoming more crazy. The elephants, that was quite an event. The elephant, he had a guy that was with him that kind of would corral him and kind of keep him in certain directions. Well, when we came up on him, this man was hiding behind a tree, and I'm talking like not a sapling, a full-grown mature tree, and that elephant was stepping on it, going after that guy, and he came and ran and jumped on the back of our Jeep to get her. And that elephant, we say, get off. He's chasing the Jeep. We said, what was the problem? He said, I got too close to his female. And I mean, this male elephant, you just walked him. He just put his foot in the middle of that tree and that thing popped over like nothing. It was impressive to watch. So we saw all kinds of entertaining activities going on. But one thing we saw about the lions, they just laid there. And you animals would run by them and they would just lay there. The Jeep would come by and they'd just lay there. Not because they're lazy, but because they know I'm top of the food chain. I'm top. And you would see animals within, you know, a region of them. And the lion wouldn't even get up. He'd just look. And those animals would take off. Why? Because they knew. Who's reigning? In the animal kingdom. Little old pea-sized brains. Know who's reigning.
Come on.
We have to build in us. We were born to reign. We were born again to reign. We weren't born again to be worried, troubled, harassed, pushed around. We are to reign. What determines that? How established we are in here. Have we established in us the words Jesus gave us? There's no way else to reign except through established words. You can't have somebody lay hands on you and you reign. Can't do it. That reigning flow comes through words received. Feelings ignored. Symptoms unacknowledged. Right?
Come on.
Praise the Lord. Isaiah 32, verse 17. And we may visit some of these again, but let's look at them tonight. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. Isaiah 32, 17, the King James says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Every day. Quietness and assurance. Does that mean circumstances will be quiet? No, but I'm quiet. I'm untroubled. I'm undisturbed. Why? Because I'm established. That means, pastors, that when less people show up Sunday than last Sunday, you don't start questioning, am I called? If you start wavering based on out here, you're not established.
That's right. Amen.
If you start determining what you will put your hand to based on income,
come on,
you're not established.
That's right.
We put our hand to based on what the Spirit leads us in and directs us in. And since He leads us that way, we put our hand that way. Yeah. We don't back up for anything out here that doesn't seem to look favorable.
Come on.
You have to establish in you words.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
When God said to me, I'm going to give you, Sister Amy Simple McPherson, I'm going to give you her castle. At a time when I had more financial responsibility on me than ever in my life. And when I had no idea of how He was going to do it, I would just remind myself, He said He's going to give it to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
What am I doing? I'm establishing what He said. Yeah. I'm not establishing what I figured out.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
And this is what cheats the faith life.
Yes, yes.
Figuring it out and then establishing yourself in what you figured out.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
Yeah. And making decisions based on what you figured out.
That's it. Yeah. Amen.
That's good.
What did God say to you?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You've heard me tell this. I don't know if I've told it here. If I have, I still am going to tell it again. When Stephen and Morgan, they had a home that they're in now, but God directed them toward the home. They didn't have any of the down payment for it. And any of that. So God did creative things to get them in that home. Well, first of all, they rented it because they just took that approach. And then while they were pulling other things together, that gave them, it bought them time. And then they entered into an agreement to purchase the home. In the meantime, the seller decided they didn't want to sell the home. So they were looking to them to default and not come up with the financing.
Right.
The week, 2 weeks before the sale was to close, the seller put a letter on their fence and said, you better have all of it done by this date or we're moving back in that day. That's how much they wanted it, and they were very aggressive. And so this was 2 weeks before the money was due. They had tried and tried and tried to get financing, could not get financing anywhere. So a week before the it was supposed to close, the sale was supposed to close, they still didn't have financing. And we were sitting at lunch, me, Stephen, Morgan. It's raining outside. It doesn't do that in California. That's why I remembered.
Yeah.
it marked that day.
Yeah.
We're sitting in the restaurant, and he said, Mom, I've got to start moving out tomorrow. I said, why? He said, because I've only got a week. We have no prospects of financing anywhere in our view. And said, I cannot wait till the night before and move everything out. He said, I've been moving for years.
Yeah.
You know, him, Ed and I, you're the mover.
Yeah.
And every time we needed to move something in the building, he's the mover. He said, I can't do it the night before. There's two big garages. It's a large home. It's 4.5 acres. I can't do it. I've got to start tomorrow. I said, how many days till the money's due? 7. Do you know what God can do in 7 days?
Come on.
It's called creation.
Yeah. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on.
That's true. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
And he said, Mom, I don't even have a place to go to after this. I said, what do you mean? I got houses. You, as long as you got a mom and daddy, you always got somebody to bail in on, right? And he said, Mom, you don't understand. No, I don't understand. No. I said, Stephen, you're trying to answer tomorrow today. I said, you can't answer how all of this is going to play out. You only have to answer one thing. Did God say that's your house? That's all you have to answer. That's all you have to answer. I said, did God say that's your house? I said, he said, he did. I said, then you know the answer to every single obstacle. God said, that's my house. When they say we don't have financing, God said, that's my house. When time is running out, God said, that's my... See, that's the answer. God gave you words. Receive them. Establish them in you. What did God say to you? Establish that. The Hebrews delivered out of Egypt did not establish in them. That first generation did not establish. God said, I have given you a land. It flows with milk and honey. They did not establish that in them. That was their whole downfall. It wasn't that they saw giants. It wasn't anything. They did not take what God said and establish it in them. Pastor Nancy, how do you establish it? It's called Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate. Meditate. Therein day and night. Lifestyle. 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 You drive that into your spirit through meditation of the mouth. Meditation of the thought life. Meditation through conversation. And so I said to Stephen, I'm just telling you, I don't know where the financing's coming from any more than you. I just know how to get the house. And that's, it's by saying, God said, that's my house. That's all you have to do and say. It's, you don't have to figure out. Now you go and you knock on every door financially. You rattle everything. That's not it. There's another door. Go rattle it. You don't sit back. Faith is what you do. Because you're establishing it in you, you can't sit home and wait for something to come to pass. Established people are moving people. How do you know it's established in you? Because you're moving toward it. You're moving toward it. You're moving toward it. So I said to him, Bear, who is my second grandson, when he was just a month or so old, he was laying on the bed one day and Morgan, I don't know, she's changing his clothes or something, and he didn't like it. And I mean, he went from 0 to 80 instantly. Like, meh! I mean, like, screaming mad. I said, oh, that boy's got a short fuse. You could see it as a newborn. He had a short fuse. I said, y'all get to get on that. That. He gets mad like this. I mean, just, zee. I said, that's going to be a good time. That's going to be a good time. This is what every parent loves to watch in their own kids getting to deal with that. Yeah. You gonna get it. Now, he's a jewel of a boy now because they got on him. They lengthened his fuse. But when he was little, I mean, he'd get mad at his brother or his sister or whatever. And I mean, he's just there, you know. So they would make him do what they called the bear. And the bear was, he had to put up his hands, he had to smile, and he had to dance. That was how they made him deal with that flesh. So every time he'd get mad, they'd say, do the bear. And he'd go. And he had to dance, because if he didn't, he would dance. So in that conversation that I had with Stephen and Morgan sitting there, I said, Stephen, I'm driving. You're not getting in my car until you do the bear. I said, it's raining outside. I said, around my car. Around my car in the rain. In the rain. Why? We got to establish some things right here. If you don't get something established, you'll be swayed off of words that would cause you to arrive. Jesus gave us words. Why? So we won't float into the wrong thing, but we'll be established by words, not by feelings, not by calculations, not by reasonings. Reasoning is nothing but doubt in disguise. You can call it, I'm calculating. No, you're. It's doubt. It's trying to calculate failure. In case God doesn't come through, I'm going to calculate this. Isaiah 32:17 again. And the work of righteousness shall be what?
Peace.
And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Meaning when you get up tomorrow, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what comes out of Washington, D.C. It doesn't matter. I'm assured by what's established in me. Joshua and Caleb got to go in. Why? Because they established what a whole generation didn't establish. How did they establish it? Remember what Caleb said to Joshua? He said, I have wholly followed the Lord. Moses told me that I would go in. That would be my land. And he said, I have wholly followed the Lord. What did he do? He held to words. He held to words. The work of righteousness shall be peace. Now, when you're peaceful here, it doesn't matter what comes. Here, out here, it doesn't matter. Because the insides are established. They're settled. What's this mean? Again, let's read it. Isaiah 32:17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness. And assurance forever. What's that mean? The struggle's over. The struggle's over. When I establish that I am righteous, right with God, the struggle's over. If I'm struggling, I haven't established that yet. I haven't established those words in me yet. That I have the free gift of righteousness. What's this mean? This righteousness is not performance based. It's a free gift. Jesus, listen, we're not righteous because we've done everything right. We're righteous because Jesus did everything right. And in his rightness, he said, I make my rightness your rightness. It's unearned. It's a free gift. So when condemnation and sin consciousness comes against your mind and accuses you, it's trying to get you out of that you are already righteous. It's trying to get you to performance-based righteousness. And this is what couldn't happen through the old covenant. This is what Paul kept warning him about. You're trying to earn something. Now, what that means, when you establish who you are in Christ, that you are righteous, you establish that, you will not have to try to perform to earn it. There will come a flow of works out of you. It's called the fruits of righteousness. Fruits of our righteousness will flow out. And we don't earn righteousness by trying to read our Bibles enough, pray enough, serve enough, speak in tongues long enough. Because how many of you know every time you go to receive a miracle, the devil will say, you haven't read enough. No, you haven't prayed in tongues enough. Because the devil always wants to turn something back to a performance instead of I'm established in righteousness. But when you're established in righteousness, you ain't playing with what ain't right. I'm not trying to make light of or dismiss studying the word, praying. I'm saying this is not earned righteousness. This is one righteousness. Jesus won it for us, not for himself, for us.
Amen.
And because we are righteous, we don't step back. We don't step back. Our faith is bold. Our reach is far. Not a crippled reach, a far reach. And our grasp is firm. We don't let go. Amen. Well, we're scratching the surface here, but we'll get there. We'll get there. All struggle here is an invitation to establish something here.
That's right. Amen.
All struggle in the mental arena is not a sign that you need to get rid of struggling thoughts.
Yes.
It's a sign that we need to establish in our spirits some things. And that's what will deal with the troubling thoughts.
That's
Amen.
So good.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Stand with me to your feet. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. How rich we are. And we purpose to live as rich as we are.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you that that wealth flows from who we are in Christ.
Yes.
And we take our place.
Yes.
We take our place.
Yes.
We establish words that you gave us.
Yes.
In our inner being.
Yes.
In our thought life.
Yes.
We thank you for it, Father. Just lift up your hands and worship the Lord with me. We glorify you. Say this after me. I am the righteousness of God
in Christ.
That's not what I earn.
That's who I am.
Right now. Today.
Therefore,
in righteousness,
I can be
bold
in my faith,
in my reach of faith, and in my grasp of faith.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. We thank you, Father. We glorify you, Father. We glorify you, Father. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. How many times did Dad Hagen tell us, find the in him scriptures, in whom scriptures, through whom, by him, all these things connected with him, and meditate on them. What's he saying? Establish them in you. Establish them in you. Establish them in you. And we typed all of those up. They're on our website. You can download them. You can download them. You can print them out and build that in you.
Amen.
I said build that in you.
Amen.
Where we're headed calls for that.
Yes.
I'm talking about this era. It calls for someone that is established.
Yes. Amen.
A body.
Amen.
not just a person, but a body that is established in who we are in Christ. And we don't spend our days just battling this. We spend our days reigning over this. Amen. Well, we've just scratched the surface. We're going to pick that up and scratch under it. Hallelujah. 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 I'll say this. We have put up with too much too long. I have. Have you? At different times I've put up with too much too long.
Too long. Too long.
Amen. What is something, Pastor Nancy, when you say put up with too much too long, what you talking about? What's not the flow of peace?
Amen. Amen.
What is not the flow of peace?
Yeah.
Amen. Go to bed peaceful, wake up peaceful.
Amen.
It doesn't mean things won't come. It means you are so skillful in that established place you occupy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Father. We thank you, Father. We glorify you. Jesus, thank you for words. Words are enough for us. God's word is enough for us. We don't look to have our feelings gratified. We don't look to have a self-awareness. But we thank you for words. They direct us. They fill us. They meet every single need.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
And we hold to words.
Yes.
We hold to right words. Yes. We thank you for it, Father. We glorify you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, you don't want to miss other services in the morning, tomorrow night. You don't want to miss it because we're going to go somewhere.
Yes.
In words. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Glory, glory, glory. Praise God. She stirred up some stuff in here. Praise God. We'll never be more righteous than we are right now. But we can become more established in it and more skillful in the benefits or the privileges of it. And that's what we're learning. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. If this is not a big issue, why does the devil fight you with condemnation so much? Why is it something he works on? Because it is a big issue that we're established in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, I'm not going to preach. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. What time tomorrow morning? Hey, 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 hey. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. One of the greatest acts of faith you can perform is, after you've missed it, is stand back in your righteousness and do it over and over again. Anybody ever missed it in the same area several times? But how many of you know faith pleases God? That means you get back up and you stand again in your righteousness. Your head up, your shoulders square. First class righteousness. God doesn't demote your righteousness from first class to economy because you missed it a few times. You know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.